print. You don't go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
You're in the doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on the WRAD Talk Network.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Long & Foster Baker Team Hotline, 540-639-4900, or text Rick and the show at
7442990 Rick at New River Radio, or you can send me a message on Messenger. The ingredients, by the way, this is rock and roll, not rock or roll, rock and roll. I'm just gonna play the whole damn thing because, well, you gotta.
What kind of bear is best?
That's a ridiculous question.
False. Black bear.
Well, that's debatable. There are basically two schools of thought.
Fact. Bears eat beets.
Oh.
Bears. Beets. Battlestar Galactica.
Bears do not... What is going on? What are you doing?
What we're doing is we're moving permanently to 105.3 The Bear, the flagship station for Virginia Tech sports.
The New River Valley's rock station.
On Monday, from 6 to 9, we are moving to a much larger frequency coverage area. We're very excited. And we're going to go back to where the whole character started under the very wise and talented mind of Pat Kelly back in the days of the Bear first getting underway. That's on Monday. Nothing changes on the show. Same time. Same awesome entertainment, he says, hoping people aren't throwing rocks at the radio. Man, the uniform thing. People are just going, I mean, so anybody, not you, smartest listening audience in radio, not you, but whenever I see these people, why do you talk about uniforms so much? They don't matter. Just, why do they matter? They matter because for companies like Nike and for leagues like the NFL in particular, they're worth potentially millions of dollars. If they didn't matter, you wouldn't have this three-month plan uniform reveal in Blacksburg that's going to come to a head here pretty soon. What struck me, and by the way, if it didn't matter, I wouldn't have gotten, and I just counted them, I mentioned this at the end of hour two, right? So you have about maybe 3 minutes before the top of the hour. From the time I came back on and cranked Vaseline from STP, as everyone should do every morning, I had 27 text messages. But nah, uniforms don't matter. Of course they matter. My beloved Broncos, last month, unveiled their ungodly atrociousness. They got one right, the throwback. Since then, there's been a poll that 96% of the fans want them to wear nothing but the throwbacks, but of course they're going to ignore those and roll out the new Mile High collection. Just hot garbage. It's just terrible. So, but the thing that strikes me from your text messages is how many of you do not want to see any kind of orange jersey? So let me follow that up with a further question. People love the thought of going back to the Mike Vick era. There's going to be an alternate uniform. My guess is it's going to be black. So does this mean that you would rather have a black jersey and helmet as opposed to the traditional colors or the current official colors, Chicago maroon and burnt orange, you would rather have a black jersey than anything orange? Is that what I'm getting from the text message? 744-2990. Because that, I mean, no one specifically said that, but I didn't see anybody, or a couple people said the black is kind of pointless. Yeah, it is. Maroon jersey at home and white pants. Use maroon pants at home from time to time. No, I don't like the old monochrome look. I think that's high school. I don't think you need to wear all maroon. I get it if you like it. It's your choice. I understand. I don't. White jersey on the road, either white or maroon pants. Yes, I'm down for that. Maroon helmet. They also want a white helmet. I'm not a big fan of the white helmet. Well, since I said that, four new text messages. No black. It's ridiculous. It's not our colors. There you go. Thank you. Here's one. I don't like the all-white uniforms on the road. White jersey, maroon pants. Hey, I'm down for that. That looks great. I prefer stripes on the helmets. Other than that, the 99 look, absolutely. More people seem to like the white helmet alternate than I thought. But everyone is universally happy that they don't have those, as Andy just talked about, those collar stripes anymore. Oof, those were bad, weren't they? Wayne from Ohio says he likes the orange metallic helmet. He sent me a picture. But he did say, yeah, I know. Well, here's what I'm going to say. I think if they go back to the Vic era, those things are going to sell out so quickly, so many times, they're going to go, why didn't we do this before? And you know what? You know my stance on throwing out a black uniform when it's totally nonsensical and has nothing to do with your school colors. I don't need to make my stance any clearer than I have. But you know what? I hope they go ahead and release a black jersey and black fan gear. And then I want to see how many people are going to buy the Mike Vick era stuff with the maroon, as God intended, or the new, whatever the black alternate's going to look like. And no, I don't have any knowledge. People are like, wow, have you seen these? Do you know for sure? Well, I think you can just kind of deductive reasoning, right? I mean, just look at their stick and ball sports. Hell, their softball, baseball teams wear black half the time. Basketball wears the dreaded black uniform at home with that hideous large VT on the chest. So I would think that in the most popular sport in this country, with the one sport that rules them all.
One ring to rule them all.
Sorry. You know, I never watched those movies until my daughter a few months ago came in and goes, Dad, you haven't watched the Lord of the Rings movies? No. Did you read the books? I said, what? Books? No. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. They're long, though, man. They're all like 3 hours long. I mean, my goodness gracious. But I like the old guy. What's his name? The wizard dude. What was his name? The same guy who played Professor X. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. He played Magneto in those first X-Men movies. I don't know the character's name in the movie. He's got the he turns out to be a wizard, and then he ends up being later on the White Wizard. What's his name? Gandalf. Thank you. Gandalf. Appreciate that. Got to be honest, in that first one, man, I like that scene when he's fighting the monster from hell on the bridge, right? And he throws down the gauntlet right there on the bridge. And that's pretty cool because remember it pulls him back into and he ends up, well, we think he's dying, but he's not. All right? He comes back as that, like I said, he comes back as that wizard later on. Let's see if I can find, here we go. Let's see. Here we go.
Go back to the shadow.
Yeah. Actual footage.
You shall not pass!
There it is! That's pretty cool. Pretty badass if you ask me. But then you see he knocks down the big monster thing and then he gets his tail back up there and brings him down into the depths of hell with him. All right, there you go. Sorry, I got off track there. I have no idea what I was saying. Oh, yeah. My confidence level in there being a new black football uniform for Tech when they do their reveals because of everything you just see in all their other sports. I mean, they throw it out there like that's part of their color scheme. I'm still waiting for the day that I do a Tech Tailgate show and I'm walking around talking to all these people who listen to the show, meet all these different people I've never heard from, but they listen and they come up and say hey or wander out and they offer food. I've never seen anyone wearing one item of black apparel. Funny text message. Thou shalt not pass should be the Tech defensive credo this year. I like that. The peeps. That's funny. But yeah, I'd never seen these movies, and there's always a big deal about them. They are well made, and the actors are really good. They care about the source material. Hey, no pandering or virtue signaling. I love that. No characters being replaced for no apparent reason. I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, it's going to happen. They're going to have the hideous black uniform. So I'm guessing they're going to parade out the Vic era, home jersey, the road. Probably you're right. They're going to have alternates. You're going to have the maroon or maybe the orange pant. But then you know. Oh, here he is. Bashaw Tootin standing there in his all black uniform. And then people on social media will act like it's the greatest thing in the world. Or at least the younger people will. Okay, well, we'll see how many people, you know, end up buying that stuff. Put your money where your mouth is if you want it. Because I know they've done research all across the country with these black uniforms when black's not remotely part of your color scheme. All right? Wayne asked if I go to Panera after I've seen those movies. No. Usually I'm about 3/4 asleep before I get to the final hour of those movies, you know, because they are long, man. Woo. They are long. And I'm not really that familiar with the source material. By the way, one of the best SNL skits ever, Martin Short and Harry Shearer, when they're doing the two dudes that have dedicated their lives to the non-actual sport of men's synchronized swimming. And you have the Martin Short character, he's wearing a life jacket. It is just brilliance. And he interrupts the interviewer and he goes, "I'm not that strong a swimmer." Oh, my Lord. All right. We'll be back. More coming up here in hour number 3. You know, when the peeps make requests for more STP, then yes, have some. See, proof that we're moving to a rock and roll station. I'm taking your request. You're a 105.3 The Bear. It's a BDSD STP rock block. Again, both elements involved here, rock and roll. Imagine this being out there for public consumption, yet someone makes the conscious decision to turn on a Taylor Swift record. Really? Really? Okay. Those are probably the same people who, you know, think that Tech should go all black uniform all the time. good, man. I tell you what, the text line reaction for these unis, everybody's on board if it's a throwback to the 95 era or the 90, whatever that was, when they were wearing them up through Vic and into the 2000s. We'll talk to Dwight about all this. He's coming up. Limited orange I'm getting. You know, and the thing about it, I'm not just saying this because everybody knows I'm against the whole, it just throw out a black uniform out there for some cheap marketing ploy that no one seems to be buying, by the way. No one is really saying that they like the black unis. They're just saying that they don't want to see the all orange again, which I agree with on that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the peeps are correct. But I think a few weeks out, I'm sure they'll do some leaks, you know, they'll do some teases. But again, don't ever come at me, not you, not this audience, but people better not ever come at me and say, uniforms don't matter. Why are you talking about uniforms? Well, because there's millions of dollars of campaigns that are created to unveil new uniforms and to create new uniforms. That's how you identify, really, in many ways, with the first time you ever have fanship about any team of any kind is because of what they're wearing while they're playing. Legitimately, that's why I became a fan of all the differing regions that I became a fan of because of their unis and logos when I was 5 years old. Why? Because, well, I'm just a kid, and ooh, that looks really cool, that royal blue and orange and that mustard and brown. All right, we'll be back. Dwight Vick joins his final segment on a Thursday. Minutes for the top of the hour here on this Thursday, thanks to Andy Bitter. We're getting a ton of text messages flying in. Also a messenger about the new Virginia Tech uniform that's going to be unveiled here in a few weeks. Joining us now on the program, not a week goes by that I don't know how many people say, man, I really enjoy listening to Dwight Vick. Yep, we do too. He joins us now, the quintessential source on all things Tech football. Good morning, DV. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. Good morning to you.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about right off the bat here is this whole proposal, and I know this might hit home to you because you play with a lot of these guys, and you were there in the era, the walk-ons at Virginia Tech. And a lot of this that they're trying to sort out with this new era of college athletics is – and every coach is against it, right? Every coach is against it, trying to reduce the walk-on numbers from whatever it is now to maybe only having maybe 5 or 10 walk-ons. And how many of those great players that you were with, Dwight, that you saw come through, earn their keep, right, as a walk-on? It was really something that Coach Beamer hung his hat on. Boy, that would be a shame if they lost that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean I'll be the first one to tell you when it comes to my perspective on the current state of walk-ons. It seems like in the modern day, you don't hear as much about them as you did in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. And I don't know if that's because there are more colleges and programs, like, you know, case in point, when I was in Tech, JMU was 1AA. They weren't Division I. But now you have Liberty, which did not have a football team, didn't even really have that many sports programs when I played. You have Liberty, you have ODU that has football, and you have, as I mentioned, JMU, which is Division I, a very good football program itself. So the walk-ons that would have gone to JMU, ODU, and Liberty were going to Tech and walking on UVA. And they're, to me, important because you don't have the scholarships, never have really in college football, where you could just give guys that you know you wanted to give an offer to and you give them the preferred walk-on spot. So that was huge for Virginia Tech in the era of the Beamer era. You got to think about, he just celebrated a birthday yesterday, Wayne Ward, who had that vicious block the Thursday night game against West Virginia when Andre Davis returned the punt for a touchdown. I think Andre Davis had like 3 touchdowns in 2.5 minutes in that game. then the 2000 season with Michael Vick and everybody. Wayne Ward's block was what they talked about on the ESPN. He was a walk-on. John Engelberger, one of the best defensive ends in Big East history, now ACC, I guess, but, you know, during the Big East, John Engelberger was a walk-on from Springfield. 6'4", 6'5", DN, who ended up playing for the Denver Broncos, was a draft pick. One of the best guys, like I said, easily in Virginia Tech football history. Stephen Tate, linebacker, started for Virginia Tech 97, 98, 96, 97. So many guys you can talk about that came through Virginia Tech as walk-ons and earned scholarships later there on. I just know that, to me, you need depth in college football because of the practice schedule and the fact that you have so many guys that can't go a full season. And there's so many people, you know, I talked about this, there's so many people that get overlooked There's no really scientific or exact science, so to speak, in identifying who's going to project to be good from high school to college. I don't know how many times I've tweeted or talked on great platforms like your radio show about so many players who are overlooked or underrated. And it's because sometimes, I hate saying this, but, you know, some of these guys that rank and rate the players coming out of high school are lazy.
Yeah.
They might not go to Radford to go see a running back who's good. They might not go to Dinwiddie, or they might not come to Centerville to see about a kid that the locals know about, but he's not a Todd Warder kid. He's not a 757 kid playing at Oscar Smith, so we don't know about him. Then all of a sudden, we see that same kid at Liberty burn Virginia Tech with 3 touchdowns and 150 yards.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So again, you're like, where the hell did he come from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a Virginia guy. He wanted to go to Tech, and Tech couldn't give him a walk-on, or he didn't have the money to be a walk-on, so he went to Liberty. That's what happens. You're never going to get everybody, but I feel like, you know, we have better issues to address. I don't want to go against college coaches and the fact that they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe it's a situation where you have too many guys trying to walk on, and it's more so a waste of time for some programs because they don't really need them. I've always felt this should be a good thing. I mean, there's kids right now I know that are coming out in 2024 that could help a program like Tech as a preferred walk-on or a walk-on that could earn a scholarship in two years or so. That hasn't changed since my era. I just think Beamer, you know, Beamer, I just think Beamer was ahead of his time, because if you take a step back, this is what's crazy about the legendary coach Frank Beamer. He embraced walk-ons, and he got that model from Nebraska, because Nebraska was the ideal, iconic program for taking walk-ons, mm-hmm. making them all-conference players. He modeled his strength and conditioning program after Nebraska and the walk-on program after Nebraska. And I only named a few walk-ons that came through Tech, but there are a bunch over the Beamer era that became great players, some of them all-conference players. As I mentioned, John Engelberger. And then you look at, you know, again, Michael Stewie. I want to add him, too. He was a walk-on at Virginia Tech, and now his son is a recruit of Virginia Tech, Miami Hurricanes, other guys like that. And his father was a walk-on at Tech. But so many programs, so many things Beamer did during his time at Tech became iconic. And he was ahead of his time, you know, making special teams, as I spoke on in the documentary about Beamer, making special teams such a big deal in college football when nobody really was talking about blocking a punt to get points and returning kicks to make it part of the game. Like, he put pressure on people to misspend time on special teams. And he also was really big about, you know, building his program with depth, with walk-ons and players that you may not think about. So again, he just was ahead of his time when it came to that, man. That's why I really wanted him to win a national championship, because, you know, he deserved it. You know, you hear that word deserve, and, you know, we overuse it, but I think for Beamer, he really deserved to win one. He did everything but win one. He's a championship coach, but he just was ahead of his time with some of the things he did with Virginia Tech, man.
Dwight Vick joining us on the program as we're just breaking down some of these things that are going on in college athletics. And I know this, that, you know, every coach out of that SEC meetings all said unanimously, look, there's no way we want to see this touch. Leave it alone. We need, just like what you're saying, we need the depth. These kids need an opportunity. How many kids get excited about going to a certain place because they have the opportunity to walk on? I mean, all this stuff they're supposedly doing for the student-athletes, this new era, yet you're immediately taking away opportunities. That just doesn't seem like it's been well thought out, in my opinion. But,
well, I just feel like sometimes NCAA or people that govern collegiate sports get bored. I don't know. I mean, the competition committees or whatever their titles or labels are, sometimes it's like, you know what, man, you know, go watch, you know, Animal Planet. Go find something else to do. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you bothering something that isn't really a major issue? And I take it a step further. How would the NFL be after the draft and the smoke clears and the NFL draft and everyone starts to build their mini camps, OTAs, and their rosters if we didn't have free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, free agents basically are walk-ons.
Right.
I was an undrafted free agent. I didn't make it, but I was good enough to play in the league. But my point being is there are a lot of guys that were undrafted free agents that make an NFL roster and they contribute. Some of them don't go on. Many of them, they're not going to be Hall of Fame players, but they help you with depth, practice squads, guy get pulled up, or, you know, special teams, or, you know, for 3 weeks you have a receiver or a DB that can contribute and make a play that wasn't drafted come out of the college. It happens all the time. It's the same thing as a walk-on theory with college football. Everyone cannot be seen and looked at or be rated, or you, even the best scouts are not going to see everybody. So undrafted free agents, you know, huge. One of my teammates, God rest his soul, Keon Carpenter, a legendary safety for Virginia Tech in the late 90s, was the only undrafted free agent to make the Buffalo Bills roster during his time as a pro when we first came out in 1999. So think about this, right? Keon made that team. This is during the time with Jim Kelly and Andre Reed and all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, so this Buffalo, this is when the great Marv Levy was coaching. And they didn't believe really in bringing a lot of free agents because Buffalo was one of those teams you went there and you stayed there. Keon made that team and was an integral part of the playoff runs they had. And then he went on to play with my cousin in the Falcons and helped lead them to the NFC Championship in 2004. Again, you just can't say enough about what getting a chance and opportunity means for some of these young men in the high school level. I can guarantee you this, and I've never talked to him about this. I don't think Coach Pry has an issue with walk-on.
No.
Because
no.
He saw what it did. He was there in the beginning. So, I don't know. I can go on and on about it, man. I just feel like sometimes, man, we overthink things in life. Like, you know, if it's working and it's not really stirring the pot, not really causing the issue, then let's leave it alone. I mean, this is like targeting. I don't want to change what agenda you wanted to talk about this morning.
No, no. Take it anywhere you want, my friend.
Targeting is a rule that I thought was a great rule because – I always tell people all the time, I love the fact that we preach safety in high school, college, and pro sports because I played during the era where, I hate saying it, man, but it was out of control sometimes.
Right, right.
But I also think they took it too far. Like, call a penalty, but you're ejecting guys,
no.
And you don't have to review everything. It is a violent sport. So is boxing. So is hockey. I think it's just almost like, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. I don't want to say it. It's almost like sometimes I think the people making the rules never played the game.
Correct.
I just wonder, like, what, like, for example, if we were talking about electrical engineering and NASA, I wouldn't be talking to you because that's not my cup
of tea.
That's
right.
I can't speak on it. I'm not an expert on that. But I do know how this thing works. I do believe in safety. I do believe in concussion protocol. I do believe that CTE is a real thing, and I do believe that players alike should be protected from practice regulations to equipment safety to how the game is officiated. But I also think you have to understand there's emotion involved. Some of these games are in front of 80,000 people. Conference games are huge. There's a lot of money involved. You have to understand how to have a feel for the moment and how to understand that, okay, this kid is trying to make a play on the ball. He does not need to be ejected. This might be his last game ever. It might be the national champion semifinal game. Do you really want to inject him? You know what I'm saying?
No, so again, agreed.
Walk-ons, targeting. Sometimes they just, in college football, which is the second most popular sport behind the NFL. Just again, I'm going to say that. College football is the second most watched and most popular sport behind the NFL. I didn't say NBA. I said college football.
Right.
So understand how important this game is to so many people, even the people that are – got a little sweet action, parlay action going on. Regardless of what your agenda is, it's essential that we get it right and stop messing the good thing up.
No, I agree 100%. The whole ejection piece to it makes no sense because you know, and Dwight, everybody on the field knows when somebody's trying to be dirty, there's a difference between that and a guy who may not have his angle correct or maybe the running back or receiver lowered his head at the wrong time. And yeah, okay, whatever, throw the flag, but let the kid play. But you know that an ejection is warranted over certain types of things, and you can tell, right, immediately when somebody's trying to have a different agenda out there.
Absolutely. Again, man, I mean, you know, I know this because I did a pod with two officials for the VHSL, and they both also officiate college basketball as well. And I have a lot of respect for officials, the same respect I have for players and coaches. I just think sometimes, again, I've said this repeatedly on your show in past episodes, including this morning, that we overthink things and we forget what the objective is. It is entertainment. It is competition. And you have to balance that. You have to understand what you're watching and what you're officiating and how to govern the game as well. The NCAA governs the game. And again, you and I talked about this this past spring about how, you know, NIL is a good thing, but at the same time, it's one of those things where it needs to be some type of parameter or some type of just understanding, like, how to make sure it works to benefit the student athlete, but we don't lose control of how to do it. And I sometimes wonder, you know, are we going to see college sports in a few years or maybe 5 years from now where it's pretty much pro sports? It just seems like it's trending that way. And I'm not going to sit here and say that a college degree is your only way to make revenue. I do believe in entrepreneurship. I do believe in these guys that they're able to make a way for themselves. I believe in branding. I mean, Victory Life is a brand. I understand it. I mean, I appreciate it. I respect the hustle. But at the same time, I take pride in the fact that I have 4 college degrees. I take pride in the fact that I was able to push through at Virginia Tech 5 years doing some grueling practices, sometimes, I won't say inhumane, but some challenging physical conditions as far as running and stadium steps and in the heat. There was no cold red and cold orange when I played. It was just hot. And I still graduated with 2 valuable degrees that I use to this day. So if we're going to take away from the fact, like I got a kid right now I mentor. He played at ODU. He transferred to Colorado last year, played 1 year at Dion, and now he's playing defensive line for Coach Wiles at NC State. He's been at 3 schools in 3 years.
Wow.
And I understand why he left Colorado.
Sure.
Colorado's not what everyone thinks they are.
No, it's not.
But
no.
At the same time, there's something to be said about some guys that just push through. You know, if we just keep leaving jobs every time something gets hard, what kind of economy or corporate America stability will we have? Or what does it say about you when you can't always just see something through? So that's what I think is kind of getting lost in this whole money, NIL, walk on, all this stuff that they keep tampering with. I think we're losing the focus on our moral compass. And I think that's the part that someone needs to be louder in the room and speak on. I wish I could be in that room sometimes. I do.
Yeah, I wish you could too, actually.
I think I would grab some attention. But anyway, thank you for letting me speak my truth on that. Man, I can go on and on. You got me started again.
I know, I do. With you 100%, though, and agreed 100%. Well, listen, man, we can pick it back up next week, too. Have a great weekend. You know, we're moving to the Bear, the Tech flagship station, so we'll have you next week in our first week on the Bear, so that'll be next Thursday.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I used to do the pregame radio show on that years ago with Danny Noakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before the games, man. I did it for about a year and a half.
Yeah,
but awesome, man. Congrats. Well, you know, I'm here no matter if you in New York, Afghanistan, Miami, it don't matter.
I understand. And you're the first guy that I would want in my foxhole in any of those situations. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Have a great weekend, man.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Great stuff there from Dwight Vick. I didn't get a chance to ask him about the uniforms. We'll get into that next week. All right. We're back to wrap it up after this. All right. Wanted to get that in before we headed out there, but we are moving to the Bear on Monday. Tomorrow on the program, Will Stewart, Jen, and Mike Ashley is unavailable tomorrow. He's having a minor surgical procedure. So Rick Schneider will join us from the Washington Post. Got a new book out, and he's also a guy who covers the Washington Commanders. So that'll be tomorrow at 8:35. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Finally Friday edition. Don't forget, we'll take your request for hour number one of the program. Just send those my way as well. We'll see you tomorrow.
us here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.